Chapter 17, which is where we are, picks up a long narrative, between David and Goliath. You're probably familiar with the story, but it picks up a long narrative. And I don't want to get started in that because we're not going to have services next Sunday night, so we're going to put off old David and Goliath for another week or two. But don't worry, David will still get him, and the Lord will still come out on top in that. So, but tonight, for a little while, I would invite your attention to 1 Peter in chapter number 5. Over near the end of your Bibles, the book of 1 Peter in chapter 5. First Peter 5, verse 1 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, which am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Tonight I have a very simple thought that I would like to supplant in your mind, and it is what you see on the wall: he cares for you. I would ask for you not to merely read those words, but tonight I would like you to meditate on those words. He cares for you. Amen. And if that doesn't do something for you, then you just need to be saved. He cares for you. Amen. There is something wonderfully unique about Christianity. Those who follow after other faiths, religions of men, do not have what we have in Christ. They have not found that pearl of a great price, or else they would have sold everything in order to obtain it. They have not discovered the hidden treasure that is our Redeemer, or they would have sold all to buy the field in which it lies. Other religions in this world teach their followers to handle the trials of life as best you can. Deal with it. Often, those of other faiths are forced to face difficulties alone. No higher help, no sovereign power giving them grace. This is simply true because a wooden carving cannot hear the prayers of its followers. A stone statue cannot reach out and embrace a hurting child. A dead prophet that has long ago met corruption cannot come to the aid of the defenseless. These prophets, falsely so called, and many others cannot bear the burden of their followers, for they are long dead and gone. But for those who have been born again, we are not left to ourselves. God has promised to never leave us, nor yet forsake us. And further yet, as Peter says, he cares for you. We serve a risen Savior. All other religious founders are dead, and buried and have remained just that way, but we serve one who is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. None of these others can say or do what the Messiah has said and done. None can make the promise of a perpetual presence in the life of their followers. Gandhi, Buddha, or Muhammad cannot care for those who are alive today, for they do not know those who are alive today. But Christ can. And Peter reassured his persecuted readers that God cared for them. Amen. And I don't have time, and we cannot get into the entire history, but Peter, the book of Peter, 1 Peter, is written to Christians who were facing imminent persecution, where the trial of their faith, that means being put to the death for standing with Christ, was real to them. It wasn't just we're having a bad day and I need grace. They were literally facing persecution. And if they, in that extreme, are directed by the Holy Spirit through the pen of Peter to cast their care on God because He cares for them, how much more should we? Amen. Don't let the freedoms and affluence that I mentioned this morning of being a Christian in America in this century, don't let it rob you of seeing the need to cast all your care on Him. The trials of this life often will cripple our bodies, encumber our minds, yet the Christian has one who can undergird us from on high. I want to take just a few minutes and I want us to look at that seventh verse together. Read it with me, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now very simply, what are we to do? What are we commanded to do? We are commanded to cast all our care upon Him. We live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world, there are cares. There are anxieties. There are hurts. There are broken homes. There are broken lives. There are broken families. There is addiction. There is the emptiness that comes after the death of a loved one. There are real cares and trials and troubles in this life. It's real. God knows it's real. We know through experience that it's real. And what are we to do with these cares, these burdens? What are we to do with them? We are not told to move our cares. We are not told to hide our cares. Neither are we told to deny our cares. We are told to cast our cares upon the Lord. You can move them, but somebody might just move them back. You can try to deny them, but they're still there. You can try to hide them, but they will still pop up. The only cure for our cares is to take the Holy Spirit's prescription and to cast them on the Lord. Cast. That word cast simply means to throw, to toss. That's what the word means. And in fact, the same root word is used in Matthew chapter 27, verse 5, where it says that Judas Iscariot took that 30 pieces of silver and cast them down at the feet of the chief priest. Same word is used there. What did he do? He took that silver and he threw it down at their feet. You know what the Bible commands that we are to do with our anxiety, our cares, our concerns? We're to cast them down at the feet of the sovereign. We're to cast them down at the feet of Jesus. In the book of Acts, that word is used where they were trying to lighten the ship in the midst of a storm when Paul and the others were afraid that the ship would sink. They cast their goods, their wares overboard. The same word is used when they cast the anchor. They threw it out And folks, I know that this is one of those messages that is much easier preached than lived, but it must be lived. And we must make every effort to obey this text. Worry is absolutely worthless. My mother and father have a rocking chair, and it was made and built by the Amish. I love that thing. Every time we visit, that's where I sit. I love sitting in that rock. And I can rock and rock and rock, and you know where I get? Nowhere. And that's exactly what worry will do for you. You can pace back and forth, you can rock back and forth, but it'll get you nowhere. What will bring peace to your heart is to cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. This word cast is not that difficult of a word to understand. The difficulty comes in doing what the word says. Once upon a time, Jerry used to take me fishing. And then I got a part-time job. That put an end to it. But anyway, when you go out fishing, you cast a lure. You cast out your bait. The problem is that most of us are like fishermen, that we cast our cares out and then reel them right back in. When the text says, cast them out. And I like the old song. I couldn't find it in any of our song books. I don't know. There's an old song that says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. You're to cast them at the feet of the Messiah King and leave them there. Don't cast your burdens and then reel them back in. We're not fishing for trouble. Cast them at the Lord and leave them there. Amen. Rather than following Peter's advice, many times we go to the Lord in prayer. We ask God to lift this burden from us, and we walk away with a measure of peace, but then those thoughts creep back. That trouble, that despair, that anxiety comes back. And rather than taking captive every thought, we allow that care to once again overwhelm us. When the old song says, if you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But then let me ask this question from our text. Not only are we told what to do, but we are told how to do it. Casting all your care. Do you see that in verse 7? How much of your care? All of it. Well, that would be good. I try to be practical in my preaching. And I realize how hard this is. Yet I don't believe God would demand it or command it, and not also give us the grace to obey it. Casting all your care upon Him. Not part of it, dear friends, but all of it. In fact, I am told that the Greek language here indicates that this is not only a once-for-all action, meaning cast it and leave it, but it is also a complete action. Casting all your care for Him. Vincent's Word Studies says that the construction of Greek words here means that we are to cast the whole of your care. W-H-O-L-E, all of it, the whole of your care on Him. Casting all your care. All your doubts. All your depression. All your fears, all your distrust, all your anxiety, all of your worry, to cast them upon the Lord and leave them there. I tried to twist Gerald's arm, but to no avail. This is the second time today I'm picking on him, so I need extra grace, my brother. But there's a song that he sings, he and Sister Darlene sing sometimes, give them all to Jesus. Amen. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. The idea is here that we take this heavy burden off, stop trying to carry it on our own or in our own strength, and lay it down at the feet of He who is able. That is the idea. The fleshly yoke of worry and anxiety is burdensome and will weigh you down. And so the gentle Lord instructs us to pick up His yoke, for His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Folks, this command here that Peter gives is by no means a promise of a pain-free and convenient life. In fact, it tells us that there will be cares. It just gives us an avenue through which we are to take those cares, a place to bring those cares. It is not that we won't have trials, troubles, and tribulations, but rather we have somewhere to go with them and someone to take them to. We don't have to try to carry the burden all along. But then, I would have you notice what we're to do. We're to cast all our care upon Him. How? All of our care. But where or who? To whom are we to take them? Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. My friends, it is vital that you understand who this He is. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Now listen, I care for you. I don't know that there's anyone here that could say, I don't think Brother Lewis cares for me. I don't think there's anyone here that I could say, brother or sister such doesn't care for me. I care for you. And I hope you know that if I can, I would like to try to be a help when you have a need. But there is someone who can do for you what I cannot do. And there is someone that can be with you when I cannot be with you. And there's someone that will give you grace and strength that I can't give you. That is who He is. It is important for you to know. He's not talking about, Peter's not saying, I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about the elders. And it's good to have Christian brothers and sisters because they can help bear our burdens. But I want you to know that He cares for you. God cares for you. The Almighty, the One who declares the end from the beginning, cares for you. The Creator, the Sustainer, the Savior, the Lord of heaven and earth, the One that left the glories of heaven and came to this earth and condescended and became like unto us, that He may be a faithful and high priest, that He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, who became very man, God became very man, that He could understand and associate your pain, your fear, your trouble, your heartache. Jesus knew what it was to grieve, to weep, to be left alone, to hurt. He knew those things because He became a man. But He also went to Calvary and died for us and rose again. And now when we have need, we can take them to Him and leave them there. That's who this He is. Listen, the president, I would say that the president of the United States doesn't have any idea that you or I exist. Probably the governor of Georgia may not know your name. The mayor of the city of Perry may not know you. The principal down to high school may not know you. But God cares for you. Amen. And that's better than all the rest. And you say, well, the principal knows my name. That was always a problem when I was in school, when the principal knows my name. The governor, the mayor, who's who may not know who you are, but God cares for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? I want to read something to you, and I know you know it, but I tell you, every once in a while, it's good to just reread it. Matthew chapter number 6. It'll bring it right back into perspective for you. Matthew in chapter 6, if you would, please. Look at Matthew 6 and verse 25. It says, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. How many thoughts? How many worries? How many cares? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit into his stature? Jesus said what I said earlier. He just says it much more articulately. Worry will get you nowhere. By worry, can you change anything? Can you make yourself taller? More handsome? More pretty? By fretting your way there? Will fret and worry, will that solve your troubles? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Folks, even the hairs of your head are numbered. And I'm not going to dig into that part right there a whole lot. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Amen. If God says that even the flowers of the field will be taken care of and provided for, how much more will those for whom he gave his only begotten Son? Amen. If you ask him of a fish, will he give you a serpent? If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Your Father knows what you need. Listen, he cares for you. Take your burdens to him. Cast them on him. His back is strong. He can carry the load. His strength is great. He can bear it. Whatever your need is, he is able to supply it. What is your need, O sinner? He can supply. What is your burden, O saint? He can give you grace. Psalms 55, 22 says this, and I think probably this is where Peter gets this. Psalms 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. He is manna for the hungry, water for the thirsty. He provides rest for the weary, hope for the hopeless, strength for the weak and grace to the tempted and tried. He cares for his own. Every once in a while I like this, and if you're in the habit of writing things down, perhaps this will be a help to you. Here's an acrostic for you. Take the word cast, C-A-S-T, and make an acrostic out of it. C, commit your burden to the Lord. Give it over to Him. To Him who cares for you. To Him who has the power to do what you cannot do. Take every thought captive. That's C. A, the letter A. Ask for God's help. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. Philippians 4 verse 6. Ask for God's help. And then S. C-A-S. Search the Scriptures. You have a problem? God has a promise. Search the Scriptures. It may be just as simple as Hebrews 13 verse 7. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then the word T. And this was not hard. C-A-S-T. Trust Him. He cares for you. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that cares for you? A God that knows you and loves you and cares for you. I want to introduce you to a man by the name of Frank Grafe. Ironically enough, Frank Grafe was a Methodist preacher. We happen to have one of them among us tonight. And our Baptist building is still standing. I don't even know if there is such a thing as a Baptist building, but nonetheless. Frank Grafe was a Methodist minister in the late 1800s in Philadelphia. He had such a charismatic personality. In fact, I read about him that children were just drawn to him because he was just seemingly always happy. In fact, he earned the name or nickname the Sunshine Minister because he always seemed to have joy in his heart. But what most people didn't see is that behind the scenes, Frank Grafe struggled greatly with anxiety and depression. Outwardly, he seemed to exude a radiant personality. Yet the events of his own life wore heavy on him. In 1880, one of his older sisters died. 2 years later, one of his younger sisters died. Within a few years, his mother and father passed away. And then shortly after that, his youngest sister died at the age of 34. And all of this happened to Frank Grafe before he was even 40 years old. And in spite of his cheery disposition, he struggled to find joy and confidence in God. Darkness crept over his soul, and he found himself in deep despondency. During this time, he sat down to read his Bible, and he came to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And out of his own experience, he sat down and wrote a song. Does Jesus care?
Amen.
Does Jesus care? And the answer that Frank Grafe came up with, and that disciples down through the years have learned, is that, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart, it's touched with my grief. When the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a great storm tossing them to and fro. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Amen. The answer to that is, oh yes, he cares. He cares for you. What a great God this is. I'm going to ask this evening, we're going to do things just a little bit different, but if I can get my Summer Hill Choir up here tonight, we're going to close tonight with a song. So I'll take my Summer Hill bunch, and any of the rest of you want to come, we're not persnickety. If you'd like to come and join us in a song, you're welcome to tonight.